will turn over to the book of Psalms 98, as I mentioned earlier, the 98th Psalm. The 98th Psalm. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into the message this morning. Father, I thank you for everyone who is here. I think about some this morning who were not able to be here. I think about Patty. Think about Sonny and some who called this morning sick. Just ask, Lord, for your touch for these folks who are not feeling well. Those who were mentioned earlier, for Luella there at Ruby, for Brother Trubaugh down in North Carolina, that you would just touch them in a special way. And Father, help us to keep our minds focused here right now. Lord, give me your wisdom. Give me clarity of thought. Give each person that's in this auditorium a clarity of mind and heart to hear your word. The Lord will thank you for what you'll do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The 98th Psalm, we're going to read it together. Let's begin. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. The Christmas Psalm. The Christmas Psalm. I was in my house Tuesday reading my Bible. When I read the psalm, that's a thought that came to mind. The Christmas Psalm. And I want you to see it this morning. I want you to see this, what I hope is something special to you today, because in this psalm you find the message of Christmas. Just two simple points this morning I'm going to bring out. And the first is this. This is a time, and I'm speaking of this time of year, this is a time of rejoicing because God has done marvelous things. He really has. When we go back to these first three verses, I want you to notice again the very first verse. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. This time that we use to acknowledge the coming of Jesus Christ is a time of singing. And there's no doubt about that. Next Sunday morning, we'll hear our children sing. 2 weeks from this Sunday, we'll hear our adult choir present special music. And many times, they are filled with new songs that you've never heard before. The last 3 years now, and I really wish I would have done this many years before, we now have a booth there at Light Up Night in downtown Bridgeport, and in our booth there are different trinkets that our folks make, and we offer hot chocolate and tracks, and we've been doing that, as I said, for about 3 years now. It's a great opportunity. And one thing you'll notice with Light Up Night, I don't know how many of you were there, some of you were there, I saw you there this past Thursday evening. You hear a lot of singing being done. They bring in children's choirs, and they bring in high school band and stuff to play. And there's some people just individually singing there throughout. It is a time of singing. Years ago, when Debbie and I were first married, of course, we lived in the Atlanta area, and every year we'd go downtown Atlanta on Christmas, or rather Thanksgiving night, and they had what they called the lighting of the tree downtown. Now, it's a little bit bigger than what Bridgeport does, probably 300,000 to 400,000 people. And you pack into their subway system and you travel downtown, you're like sardines. And you get off there and you stand in this massive crowd for hours. And there in the skyscrapers, you have different choirs singing and performing before they had this big event called the lighting of the tree. Actually, I enjoyed it. Now, if you don't mind being around 400,000 of your, you know, closest friends, you know, it's not a bad thing to do. And just a time filled with music. And I saw something that I've never seen before. Normally, when you ride in the subway system, it's quiet. People are tired from being at work or having to go to work. People a little bit antsy. When we left that area of downtown to return back to the suburbs, those cars were all packed. And I watched people begin to offer folks their seat. Here, you sit down. I'll stand. And that normally doesn't happen. And then as we're traveling, I heard somebody started singing. I don't remember what it was. It obviously was a Christmas song. And all of a sudden, the whole car load of probably 200 or 300 people that jammed to that car began to sing together. And all my life, I've never heard that. I've been to New York City. I've been to Chicago, Atlanta, you name it. I've never, ever heard that before. There's something about this time of year that just does something a little bit different to people's hearts. There's always a lot of music associated with it. For us as believers, why is that the case? I mean, why are we going to do a children's program next week? Why are we going to have a cantata? I mean, we don't normally do those things. It's because of the marvelous things that God has done for us. The marvelous things that God has done for us. Now, you look at the word marvelous in verse 1, and I know you understand the word marvelous. The word marvelous means exactly that, marvelous. If you're to look at the definition of the word marvelous, it would mean a great thing or a wonderful thing. And it also carries this in the definition, a miraculous thing. Now, as a born-again child of God, I think about the miraculous. I think about the miracle of the virgin birth. Think about that. A young lady had a child who never knew a man. I think about the miracle of God becoming flesh. You saw the sign when you drove in today. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Emmanuel, God with us. God was manifest in the flesh. I think about the scores of Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming, the first coming of the Lord Jesus, all fulfilled to perfection. I think about the miracle of an angelic choir filling the night sky over Bethlehem. How many of you have ever seen a host of angels? It was a miracle. It was a miracle that 2 years previous and later, those men would come guided by a star. I don't know exactly what that star was. Sometimes the Bible refers to angels as stars and so forth. I'm not exactly sure what that star was, but they had seen it back in the east. And 2 years later, when Jesus is 2 years of age, they will see that star reappear over Bethlehem. Those are miraculous things. Think about what this verse is saying. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous, great, wonderful, miraculous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Now, I tell you something. That day that Jesus Christ was born was a day of victory. It was a day of victory. It tells us that God's right hand has brought him the victory. And there are many references in the Bible, Old and New Testament, about the right hand of God. In Psalm 20, verse 6, we hear these words, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand." In the New Testament, this is a good verse, Acts chapter 5, verse 31. It is speaking about the Lord Jesus. It says, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. His right hand and his holy arm," Isaiah 52:10. "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." And that's exactly what happened because of that first coming of Christ. Notice verse 2. The Lord hath made known his salvation. Well, that's what happened the night that Christ was born. Salvation was made known. I mean, of all the marvelous, miraculous events, is reality that the Savior was born. I mean, it would have been wonderful to see those angels appear. It would have been very amazing to watch that star and come to gain knowledge that the Messiah had come. It would have been wonderful to see all the events associated with the birth of Christ. But the greatest of all miracles is the fact that the Savior was born. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now we know he's referred to as that infant child. The Scripture refers to him that way. He's referred to as that king. But when he is announced to those shepherds, he's not announced as a baby or even as a king. He's announced for his purpose in coming. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Simeon, in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 31, would say this, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now, who is Simeon? He's an old man that the Holy Spirit had come to and said, "You will not see death until you have held the Lord's Christ." And 8 days after Jesus' birth, there in the temple, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in to have him circumcised. And the Holy Spirit said, "That's the one. That's the one." And Mary placed that infant in his arms. And as he held that infant in his arms, he made that declaration, "Now mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He held salvation in his arms. What a wonderful thing it must have been. Notice also in verse 2, the last part of the verse, "He hath openly showed in the sight of the heathen, he hath shown his righteousness. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen." Can I tell you that Jesus is righteousness? Amen. Jesus is righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It's a verse I use when I pray to just take time to praise God. And there we're told this about the Lord Jesus. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Jesus Christ is righteousness. I think about the writings of John in his first epistle, and he made this statement, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Same epistle, 1 John 3:7, John said about the Son of God, "He is righteous." Throughout the New Testament, we're told about the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, we're told about Jesus that he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Listen, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. When they saw Jesus walk among them in Galilee or in Judea or any other place that he frequented, listen, they saw righteousness. They saw holiness. They saw God's salvation. That's who they saw. I want you to look with me at verse 3. "He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel." Now I want you to turn with me in the New Testament to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we're told about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth and the birth of the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. But I want you to notice the words of Zacharias as he speaks about the birth of his son, John, but he makes reference not to John, but to the salvation, to the righteous, to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, I'm going to begin to read in verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now, everything he has spoken up to this point does not concern John, concerns Jesus. Look at verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission or the forgiveness of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You notice here that the house of Israel, the reference there, is first directed toward Israel, that God brought to his people the salvation that they needed in the form of an infant child named Jesus. He brought forth that child so that they could know, as the passage tells us, his tender mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. I remind you of what we're told in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now listen to me, to the Jew first. Now I'm a Gentile, I'm not a Jew. The gospel was first sent to the Jew. Why? Because they were God's chosen people, because Jesus was a Jew. You wonder why we have this flag here. And I know that Israel, as it stands now, is a secular nation that has very little to do with God. But God placed them back in that land. And those who bless me, I'll bless. And those who curse, I'll curse. And it is a daily prayer in my life that God bless Israel and bring peace to Jerusalem. Because one day, those secular Jews are going to look at him whom they have pierced, and they're going to mourn, and they're going to declare him their Messiah. You need to be praying for Israel. You need to be praying for God's people. God sent Jesus Christ to the Jew first. He sent Paul to the Jew first, and Peter to the Jew first. That's why we support some missionaries that minister to the Jews, because it's to them first. I'm glad he did not exclude us, though. I'm glad for that. Praise the Lord. Notice also in this verse, back in Psalm 98, the beginning talks about Israel. He hath remembered his mercy and truth toward the house of Israel. But notice the second half of the verse. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now there in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's me. And more than likely, that's you. God has sent his salvation, his tender mercy, not just to his own people Israel, but to you and to me as well. In fact, as we read there in Luke chapter 2, we didn't get quite this far, but there in Luke chapter 2, as Simeon holds the Lord Jesus and declares who he is, he makes this statement in Luke 2:32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Simeon was well aware that Jesus Christ did not just come for the Jewish people. He came for people like you and me. He came to be a light to the Gentiles. Acts 13:47 says this, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be," now listen to these words, "that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth," just as we hear in Psalm 98. This message is to be sent to the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ came to save those to the uttermost parts of the earth. He came for you and me. Now these are marvelous, miraculous things that were done at the first coming of the birth of Christ. This was His purpose in coming, not for us just to have celebrations, but us to have a reason to celebrate. Not as the world celebrates, but as someone who's placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time of rejoicing because God has done marvelous things. And the second thing I want you to see this morning is this. This is a time of resonating the message of Jesus Christ. When we go back to Psalm 98, I want you to look at verse 4. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm." We sing a song around here, and it goes like this. "We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves." This is a wonderful opportunity this time of year to resonate the message of Christ. We have a reason to rejoice in His first coming, and we have every reason to resonate the message of His first coming. Listen, there would have been no Calvary without a cradle. There'll be no second coming without that first coming. There's a reason to rejoice in His coming. And I hope you understand that reality. That resonating of the message began the night He was born. You don't have to turn back to it, but there in Luke chapter... Well, let's do that. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. And I want you to notice verse 8. Luke chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The message of Christ's coming was resonated first by the angels. In that same chapter, the ones that He spoke to, or they spoke to, were those shepherds who were doing exactly what shepherds do, watching over their flocks that nighttime. And look at verses 16 and 17. "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it," now notice these words, "they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And now those shepherds began to resonate the message of the coming Messiah. That the Messiah is here. Why did He come? He came to save their people from their sin. He came to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. You don't need to turn there, but you know it. Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It started with the angels, continued with the shepherds, and now in our day, that resonating of the message of the coming of Christ and the reason for His coming to be a Savior to you and me is given to you as a responsibility. I am to resonate the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just his birth, much more his death, burial, and resurrection, his holy life, and the fact that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, we resonate the message of Christ's birth, but with the purpose of pronouncing his reason for coming. Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 John 4:14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John 3:16, say it with me, you know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the reason for Christ's coming. And we do that in different ways now. We do it with song. It was interesting to me there at the light up night. There are different people singing, and there's a man singing. All of a sudden, he starts singing "O Holy Night." One of the greatest Christmas songs ever written. "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth." He begins to sing that. Now listen, you take that same individual at any other time of year and he starts singing that, people are going to look at him like he's some kind of an oddball. We have that booth there and we hand out tracts to people. And toward the end, just started laying tracts out, and some people just came by and took tracts. Now listen, I've been passing out tracts for years. And sometimes I have people refuse me. It's rare when you see people come and take them for themselves. There's an opportunity here, folks. It's called Christmas. And we focus on the birth of Christ and the message of Christ. There is an opportunity here that doesn't normally come other times of years. You ought to take every advantage of it to resonate the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to save us from our sin. We do it through song. We do it with words. That's what I'm doing right now. Had an opportunity this week to tell someone about Christ. Listen, it's giving out the gospel through word. We do so with the foolishness of preaching. Appreciate Nick preaching last night at our dinner last night. It was good, really good. We do so with ink and pen. Whatever way the message is given out, you know, sometimes it's best to just sit down. There have been different times where I've just sitting down and written people the message of Christ, the gospel. I knew that they may not just allow me to speak it to them, but in an inintrusive type of way, just writing out the gospel message and mailing it to them, they can read it for themselves. Whatever way you do it, listen, this is a great time of year to resonate the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the message we resonate? You go back to verses 8 and 9. Here Roman or in Psalm 98, let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. The message is the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I thought it was the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it is. But the act of salvation was an act of judgment in which the one who is the judge became the judged. I want you to think of this. In John chapter 9, verse 39, Jesus speaks and says, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." He said, I've come for judgment. I've come for judgment. In John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. His act as Savior was also an act of judgment. He judged Satan and bruised him, as we heard preached last night. He gave him that mortal head wound there at Calvary. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is given to judge the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. that begins as God begins to work in your heart once you come to know Christ as your personal Savior, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and really in the lost as well. The judge was judged when he hung upon that cross at Calvary. The Father judged his Son in my place. He took what I deserved. And I just want you to remember what we're told in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, listen, smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Jesus Christ was judged of his Father in my place. Jesus Christ was judged for you when he hung on Calvary. The judge became judged. It's an amazing verse, Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God the Father to bruise his own Son. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The judge became judged there at Calvary. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world, and it's expressed to us in this psalm in the form of judgment. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, and he most certainly did. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. And he most certainly did. In fact, we got a whole lot better deal out of that act than he ever got, didn't we? He who knew no sin became sin for us. He became a curse when he hung on the tree. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. The judge was judged for us. And that judgment now rings out in the earth as we, through the generations, have sent out missionaries around the world and the gospel is carried over the airwaves, radio, and internet, in whatever ways possible. The gospel truly has covered the world. It's gone to the ends of the earth, but not everybody is reached yet. Not everybody knows. In fact, reality is, other countries are now sending their people to the United States to be missionaries. Places like Kenya, places like South Korea are now sending their people to the United States to do what we're failing to do. Let's resonate the message of Jesus Christ. This time of year, from Thanksgiving through New Year's, is an open invitation to give the gospel with very little interference. Take the opportunity. Let this Christmas psalm be an encouragement for us to get out and to do what we ought to do, telling others of Christ. Lawrence and Cheryl aren't here today, but they always ask me almost every year, Pastor, we need a stack of about 300 tracts. Why? Because we're going to stick them in every card we send out. I think that's a great idea. I wish you could have been there Thursday night. Jordan, I don't know if you heard about this. You've been proud. Your son, Corbin, as things are beginning to wind down, he says to my son, let's go out and pass out tracts to people. I mean, that little boy starts to go out among strangers and starts handing out the gospel to people. I think it's one of the sweetest things I've ever heard. He has more guts than a lot of us do. That's great. I got tracts of galore, both foyers. Take them, distribute them, put them in Christmas cards. Look for opportunities to share the gospel. Sometimes you can make a little plate of cookies or whatever. Walk across the street, say Merry Christmas or something to your neighbor. Put a tract in it, or even open up a conversation to give the gospel. It's an opportunity to resonate the message of Christ. Christmas parade. Just remember what Mrs. Lectrick told me, that her and her husband, every year at the Christmas parade there in Fairmont, they distribute gospel tracts in the parade. Listen, Whatever opportunities God gives you, take opportunity to resonate the message of Christ. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. In fact, we'll stand together with our heads bowed. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. You say, well, that's not really a Christmas psalm, is it? Well, it's not titled the Christmas psalm. It's just titled the psalm, a psalm. Well, that's the impression that I received Tuesday. And I hope that was a help to you, an encouragement to share the gospel of Christ. I mean, enjoy this time of year, especially as Christians, knowing that He came for us, and then take opportunity to share the gospel with others. Father, I pray you take what we've heard for good in people's lives today, that you would encourage them. I know, Father, we are to be busy throughout the year telling others of Christ. But I also understand, Father, that there just seems to be a little bit different attitude in many people toward receiving the gospel during this time. Lord, help us to take full advantage of it. Lord, should there be somebody here who has never received the gospel for themselves, never put their own trust in Christ, that today, before we leave this place, they would put their own faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And for every born-again child of God in this room today, that we would seek to please you and to tell others of what you have done for us. And God will thank you for it, I pray in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed as the music begins, if you need to come to the altar this morning, I encourage you to come right now.